Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Wednesday morning, July 10th, you hope you're having a beautiful July day. It's a beautiful time of year. It is summer, my favorite season. I hope you enjoy it as well. And if you're on vacation, if you're doing a staycation, wherever you find yourself, take us with you at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, which is so easy to do because, as they say, there's an app for that. Just go to our website for all the details, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. I think you are going to want to, again, regardless of what you're doing or where you're at, stay tuned for the entire program this morning because we are dedicating about 45 minutes to a special interview with the one, the only, Father Robert Spitzer. Now, why am I doing this? Well, been thinking a lot lately, and it's been coming up in prayer and just reflection time for me, all about freedom. This is the month of July. We just came off the Independence Holiday weekend. We had a beautiful salute to America last week where we honored those who protect our freedom, all the branches of the military, and so many people came together in Washington and other parts of the country recognizing this great nation of ours. And yet, in so many, how do you want to say, areas, halls of discussion, legislatures, wherever laws are discussed, it seems that freedom is misunderstood, doesn't it? Freedom, many who have power seem to think that freedom is all about allowing people to do whatever they want to do with whomever. But that's not what real freedom means. And so I thought we would have Father Robert Spitzer on with us to talk about this issue of freedom. Now, he is brilliant. He is uber smart. You know that. He runs the beautiful Majus Center, and it is all about helping Catholics engage the culture. He is a noted author, theologian, philosopher, and he is on every week with Doug Keck, our very own Doug Keck, Chief Operating Officer and President of EWTN, on a terrific show, one of my faves on our television network, and you know it well, Father Spitzer's Universe, where they talk about a number of issues and take your questions and your emails to address a lot of moral issues and challenges that we're facing in our culture. And so with this whole idea of freedom being misused and misunderstood and certainly not looked at where our real freedom comes from, and that's understanding who we are in Christ, who we are made in God's image and likeness, male and female. I wanted Father Spitzer to dissect that. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And with this in mind, I do want to talk about a few scripture verses that reflect what real freedom is. For example, how about this in 1 Corinthians 10:23? Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything being permissible, but not everything constructive. And from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Psalm 119, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Romans 6:14, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. And then 1 Corinthians 8, but you must be careful, brethren, that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. So there's a great deal in Scripture. We know that true freedom comes again in Jesus, and it's the only place we're going to find it, in that relationship with Christ. And we are so confused about it. And I use that word free, that pronoun free, not to talk about those of you who are listening to us. You may be struggling with some issues, but I think you understand, if you're listening to Catholic radio, what real freedom is all about. We all wrestle with God, as we saw in the first reading yesterday, Tuesday, with Jacob wrestling with God. We all wrestle. And we all question, and that's okay. God can handle the questions. It's when we don't wrestle and when we don't question God and ask him to help us see something. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Lord, I don't understand this teaching. Yesterday we had Father Tad Paholczyk on, another brilliant priest, talking about why God says no to, and the church says no to, in vitro fertilization. That's a tough one for a lot of people. How could it be bad to want children so badly that you would seek out whatever resources you could, scientific resources, help from the latest technology to have a child? Why is that considered wrong by the church What is immoral about that? So if you wrestle with those questions and ask God, he will show you if you have an open heart and understand what freedom really is. And so we're going to talk about this with Father Spitzer, and I think you'll enjoy it. We're taking the rest of the program after the news and after the break, about 45 minutes in this month, where we celebrate freedom, our nation's freedom, and understanding who we are, hopefully, one nation under God. Right now, on this Wednesday morning, July 10th, let's take a look at the news and see what's happening in and around the world. Archbishop Charles Chaput from Philadelphia said yesterday, Christians are called to win the battle of ideas and values in secular society. In a speech delivered to the Alliance Defending Freedom Summit on Religious Liberty yesterday, the Archbishop saying authentic religious freedom is essential in shaping a society of love, the animating spirit of all authentically Christian political action. He added, we can never accept the separation of our religious faith and moral convictions from our public ministries or our public engagement. He added, it's impossible, and even trying to do so is actually evil because it forces us to live two different lives, worshiping God at home and in our churches, and worshiping the latest version of Caesar everywhere else. Tom Roberts explains that former President George W. Bush is memorializing Ross Perot as a strong patriot.
Bush says the Texas billionaire epitomized the American creed and entrepreneurial spirit. He also praised Perot for his love of the U.S. military and his family and said his condolences are with the entire Perot family. Perot endorsed Bush for the presidency in 2000 after challenging his father, George H.W. Bush, in 1992. Perot died Tuesday at the age of 89.
The U.S. Secret Service says nearly all those who carried out mass attacks last year exhibited warning signs beforehand. Acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleenan, speaking about critical issues highlighted in the report.
The MAPS report found that the attacks were motivated by a variety of goals, grievances, and ideology. While we tend to focus on a terrorism motivation, none of these different motivations and ideologies should be discounted as less serious or less concerning.
The agency's National Threat Assessment Center analyzing 27 incidents, mostly shootings, during last year. The report released yesterday says all but four of the attackers made some type of communication that did not constitute a direct threat, but should have elicited some concern. The report also finding 24 of the 27 attacks were carried out with firearms, mostly at places of business, and more than half ended within 5 minutes. The Secret Service is encouraging folks to share concerns they may have with coworkers, classmates, family members, or neighbors. And forecasters, according to Rick Hochschild, are keeping a close eye on what is likely to become the second named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season.
The broad low-pressure area has emerged over Apalachee Bay in the northeastern Gulf of Mexico. The National Hurricane Center is giving the system an 80% chance of developing into a tropical depression Wednesday night or Thursday as it moves west in the Gulf. The system's expected to dump heavy rain from the Florida Panhandle to the Texas coast. Forecasters are also warning of potential wind and storm surge impacts later this week.
Six groups that helped campfire victims are being honored. Former Yuba County Supervisor John Nicoletti in California now works with Habitat for Humanity, which is one of the organizations honored yesterday.
We've really bonded much closer together. And so we're in this for as many days, months, or years that it takes to make everybody feel whole again.
The fire November 8th roared through Paradise and other nearby towns, leaving nearly 90 people dead and thousands without a home. And finally, in our news segment on a Wednesday, Amazon workers at a Minnesota warehouse, as Elisa Z reports, are planning a six-hour strike on Monday, and that's the first day of Prime Day.
Workers say the company's one-day shipping offer to Prime customers puts unrealistic pressure on warehouse workers, will take a toll on their health, and put their safety at risk. One worker, William Stoltz, says, quote, "We want to take the opportunity to talk about what it takes to make that work happen and put pressure on Amazon to protect us and provide safe, reliable jobs." Monday's planned strike will be the first ever at a U.S. warehouse during a major shopping event.
More Catholic Connection coming up in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on a Wednesday.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Missed the name of the guest on today's Catholic Connection or his or her book? Log on to AveMariaRadio.net. Click Archive in the upper right corner. Select and search Catholic Connection and explore from there. You can hear past episodes, delve into bios, read related articles, purchase books, and find links to websites, all by clicking on the show notes from each hour. Browse AveMariaRadio.net and bookmark it today. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hope you're enjoying your summer, and we are in July, the month where we talk about freedom a great deal. Of course, we have the Fortnight for Freedom wrapping up that the bishops gave us and give us every year to remind us of our religious responsibilities as Catholics in these United States of America, and that one nation under God, and that we are freedom of religion, not from religion. It seems to me when this time of year rolls around, we're all very patriotic. We get out our flags and we decorate and we go to see the fireworks. We have the barbecues, and that's all great. And many of you may be in the midst of a staycation, or maybe you've got us on at your vacation cottage on the beach or at a lake. And that's great. But we want to make sure that we are understanding what real freedom is. Not only what our founding fathers gave us here in this country, but what God our Father gives us every single day, and how that is continually, well, both actually, are being attacked. And so no one better to speak about this, I believe, than the brilliant Father Spitzer. And you know him well from his program with Doug Keck on EWTN, Father Spitzer's Universe, his many books, his great work at the Majus Center. And that, by the way, that website, if you'd like more information, is MajusCenter.com. And Father, I can't think of a more challenging time right now in terms of misunderstanding of freedom and liberty. And that's why I wanted to talk to you for a special edition of Catholic Connection in July, this month where we always talk about freedom. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Teresa. You know, I think it is a challenging time, and the notion of freedom has been significantly undermined within the culture. And, you know, most philosophers make an upfront distinction between freedom from and freedom for, or freedom to, sometimes it's called.
Right.
But, you know, we have decidedly as a culture moved toward freedom from, and that's really bad, because freedom for is what's required for commitments. It's required for moving to the highest objective in life, right? It's required for moving the culture as a whole to the most significant purpose of life. And so, you know, what's going on is we're becoming what I would call more and more level one and level two, which are freedom from, and less level three and level four, which I'll explain later, which is more freedom for. But maybe I could just make the distinction, flesh it out a little bit so people can understand it. Freedom from, as you might expect, is I feel free or I sense freedom when I am escaping from constraint, when I'm getting out of something, when I am freeing myself from an obligation, when I'm freeing myself from somebody, an outside person who could in some way impinge upon me or constrain me. And so that's, legitimate, there are legitimate kinds of freedom from, right? We in this country, we want freedom from government restrictions so that we can practice our religion. We want freedom from government interference so that we can have our own private life. You know, we can have our own house, our domicile as our castle, as it were. We want freedom of the press so that we can, have freedom from government restrictions to impinge us on modes of expression and so forth. So these are all legitimate kinds of freedom from, and they work very well in a political society. However, you don't want to make freedom from your highest kind of freedom, because if you do, the best you can do is escape from commitment. But we all know commitments are what lead us to the highest purpose in life, the highest relationships that we have with others. When we commit ourselves to others, right, when we commit ourselves to a goal or to a value or an ideal that is worthy of us, we commit ourselves to principles and to goods that we think are worthy of us, then that's when we really make progress. That's when we become moral beings. That's when we really achieve something that's worthy of us. That's when we leave an imprint on life. That's when we, move progressively toward the kingdom of God. That's when we are able to make a huge difference. So we need commitment. But unfortunately, freedom from, as good as it is in the political domain, you can't use it in the personal domain to say, I feel free when I'm committed to nothing. Mm-hmm. I feel free when all of my options are open. Because even though all your options are open, you can twirl around and admire all the open options. But if you move toward any one of them, if you commit yourself to any one of them, what are you doing? You're foreclosing all of the other options. Horrors! I can't possibly bring myself to foreclose an option because I feel almost enslaved. I feel like, my freedom has been taken away. And so in a way, we're going to become the commitmentless society. And if we're a commitmentless society, we're a whole bunch of drones that are not living for, and there it is, freedom for, we're not living for an objective, a high purpose in life, principles and values and ideals that are worthy of us. Because every time you embrace a principle, every time you embrace a moral rule, an ethical rule, every time you embrace the kingdom of God, right, you're going to have to make a commitment. Mm-hmm. And making a commitment means three things. Number one, you're going to have to foreclose options to other possible things you could have done with your life, because you're basically devoting psychic energy and physical energy to getting that particular commitment done. And so people say, oh, that's a disvalue. Even though you're getting to higher purpose in life, you're getting to heaven, you're getting to the kingdom of God, you're getting to principles and ethics, you're getting to ideals where you can serve people, you're getting to a marriage where you can have the highest form of love and a stable family environment. All that requires commitment. And so the idea of, oh my gosh, I got to foreclose other options to other people, the old idea of FOMO, right? Fear of missing out, and so FOMO is basically undermining commitment, and commitment is what gets us to the highest purpose, what gets us to heaven, what gets us to the highest kinds of relationships and friendships, which gets us to marriage and stable families. All that stuff is undermined by freedom from, undermined by FOMO, fear of missing out. And the second idea, you know, that we need for commitment is not just the ability to foreclose options, but I'm going to have to expend psychic energy and I'm going to have to expend physical energy to get to something that's worthy of me. Commitments are objectives and goals, and I've got to overcome obstacles. There's always going to be a problem, right? There's always going to be something that I didn't anticipate. And so I'm going to have to, you know, move toward that commitment in some kind of a fashion. That's, you know, has to be considered, you know, and people go, oh my gosh, you know, I just don't like exerting that kind of effort on an ongoing basis. Now, of course, an entrepreneur would say right away, well, if you're not willing to do that, don't ever start a business.
Right.
Don't be an entrepreneur.
Don't start a career.
Person.
Don't live. I mean, seriously,
exactly.
I mean, if you don't want to get, if you don't want to have children, you want to get married. I mean, everything requires commitment. Taking health
Absolutely.
Requires commitment.
You bet, Teresa. And of course, don't live. That's right. Basically it. If you don't want to exert yourself, if you don't want to get over hurdles, if you don't want to, you know, deal with the cross, whatever, I guess you could stay at home. And if your parents will allow you to do it, you know, just go ahead and stay at home and lie in bed.
Right. And veg out every day.
But
right.
Boy, what a worthless life that is.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the class waste. But anyway, we see that, you know, what the culture does is it creates a disvalue in commitment without telling folks that real values come from commitments. Real purpose in life comes, heaven comes, marriages come. The whole thing that makes life worth living comes from a commitment. And freedom from is just killing it. It's undercutting it. And FOMO is the worst thing in the world, the fear of missing out. It's just undermining everything.
So we talk about foreclose, and then expended energy, and then what's number three? Because you said three things.
The third thing, of course, is that, you know, when you get to your ideal, right, when you're starting to really get married, you get, you know, your business has started, so you're committed to it. Sometimes you get disappointed that everything is not what you thought it would be.
Oh, heavens to Betsy. We run into a complication? Say it isn't so.
Exactly. Or it's you know, you fantasized about how wonderful the business would be, and now it's just not quite there. Oh, it's there. There are great advantages, but it's not everything you thought it would be. If you're going to commit yourself, you got to abandon the initial fantasy to just get real about what the objective is going to be like. So, you know, sometimes you can fantasize what it's like, you know, when you convert to Christianity. Let's suppose you convert to, I was born a cradle Catholic, let's say, and then you have an ideal of what it's going to be like to live the Christian life. You go through the RCIA program. You've been a Catholic for 2 years. It's just not quite everything you thought it would be. But it's still getting you to heaven. It's still helping you go along the path. It's still, you know, and instead of seeing all the good things that are happening to you, you wind up going back to the fantasy of what it would be like, and you allow the disappointment of it not being in accordance with the fantasy, you allow that to undercut the reality and the goods that are coming out of it. It's like, I had a fantasy about marriage. I married this gal, and it's not everything I thought it would be, you know. And so the fantasy, once again, is cutting out. But there's so many good things about marrying this lady, right? And so, you know, there's so many great things about my kids. Yeah, and, you know, it's not, you know, maybe the temper tantrums are more prolific than I thought they might be. But we can't afford to allow, you know, the fantasy, the disappointed fantasy, to undercut all the great and good things that are getting us to our real goals in life, right? Our ideals, to our religion, to the kingdom of God, to a stable marriage for our family. Imperfect as it may be, as imperfectly as it doesn't live up to the fantasy, we just got to stop the fantasizing. Now, look at our culture today. What do we see? Well, we basically have, you know, FOMO, so that's the first thing. Don't foreclose an option, right? You know, fear of missing out. Number two, you've got people saying, hey, relax, this is the culture of plenty, right? You owe it to yourself. You don't deserve to have to strain and struggle to get to where you want to go. It's just part of the cultural message. It's all on every ad. And the third thing that you see is fantasize and dream away, you know, and you'll get your dreams. You know, and the whole idea of just not being realistic and allowing the disappointed fantasy to undercut the good of reality in the moment of commitment. And so we got to just stop it. This culture, just it's going to kill us. And sometimes people who are raised in cultures with much less education and with much less in the way of resources, they're probably better off.
And they're happier. Luckier. I think research shows that, and the church is thriving in places that have less versus what's going on here in our country. We're talking with Father Robert Spitzer. The month of July, all about freedom. Last week, we just wrapped up on the 4th of July, Religious Freedom Week, and the theme was strength in hope. We'll talk a little bit more about that and why there is always strength when we have Jesus, and that's where our real hope and our real strength and everything comes from. Father Robert Spitzer, you know him from Spitzer's Universe and much more. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from the automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
There's a simple step to raising a more grateful child. I used to say, easy, eliminate half of their material possessions. I don't say that anymore. That's ridiculous. I say 75%. They don't even miss 50. 22 stuffed animals, you go down to 11. Not exactly a hardship. Simple step to raising a more grateful child. Don't be so free with the material stuff. Research has shown more generous people, by and large, have less. You give a child less, he's more willing to share it. He also is more able to occupy himself with things like boxes and dirt balls and rocks, worms, stuff that doesn't cost a whole lot of anything.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Having a great conversation with the one, the only, Father Robert Spitzer, an author, speaker, philosopher with the Imagus Center. Also appears regularly on EW10 with our very own Doug Keck on Father Spitzer's Universe. It's one of my favorite shows. I could talk to you forever. I love philosophy. I took a few philosophical courses in college. I don't have my degrees in communication. But to me, there's so much in philosophy in depth and understanding the natural law and how it applies. And when you come right down to it, really, to me, it's not, you don't have to be a PhD to figure this out. This seems to be common sense. We're talking about fear of missing out. And yet, as parents, parents would never tell their children, well, gee, mommy, I want to go play in the middle of the freeway on my bike because I'm fear of missing out on some fun. I want to go jump off a building with my Superman cape because I'm fearing missing out. I want to stick my hand in that hot pot of soup on the stove because it looks really fun.
Yeah.
In those practical senses, we understand it. And yet when it comes to working hard for something, especially the issue of sexuality, male and female, all bets are off. And all of the things that you mentioned prior to the break you know, this whole foreclosure idea, that foreclosing on and losing, God forbid, an option, expending energy, and then, heaven forbid, bumping into some disappointment, which is life. Everybody has disappointment. There's never a perfect utopia, God willing, until we get to heaven. The lack of common sense and thinking that things are going to be a particular way, why are we so quick to fall into these traps, Father, do you think? And even many Catholics.
Yeah, I just do think that we've lost a really great skill that we had formerly in this country, which was consent to the harder way and even choosing the harder way for a noble objective. It was almost built into the lives of people. You know, there's the fear of suffering, or just the rejection of suffering, or even the rejection of possibility of suffering, is something rather new in our culture. You know, if you look at the World War II, the so-called Greatest Generation of Tom Brokaw, you know, people accepted, they consented to the fact that there's going to be hardship. And they consented to the fact that, you know, life's not going to be perfect. You know, the Disneyland fantasy is just not life, you know, and they consented to it. And once you consent, there's a peace inside your soul. You know, of course, you know, you can say, well, I'm awaiting the kingdom of heaven, and I'm using every bit of suffering I've got to move toward the kingdom of heaven and purify my soul and do everything I can to make a difference in this life before I leave. And, you know, suffering provides all those opportunities.
Exactly.
And, you know, wrote a whole book on it, you know, called The Light Shines On in the Darkness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, though, that in this culture, the idea of consenting to the harder way, or what we as Christians call the cross, or, you know, even choosing the harder way, the cross, for the sake of a noble purpose, i.e., like Jesus did, right, that is almost anathema to the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's intrinsic to Christianity and to the Catholic Church. I mean, I just don't see how you embrace Christ and our culture if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow in his footsteps. I mean, you know, I just don't get it. And so we've got to get back to the idea. I mean, people don't want to hear it.
Right.
You know, if you come up and you say, you know, I mean, my dad would tell me, you know, I'd say, Dad, that's not fair. And my dad would tell me, the world's not fair.
Life's not fair.
You know?
Right.
And life's not fair. And you've got to stop thinking that. Now, I had a great dad. You know, he said that the point of life is to make it through, you know, to the kingdom of God. The point of life is to use all the disadvantages. I mean, he was a veteran of two wars, right? So, he knew you got to make it through and use what you've learned from this experience. And war is a lousy experience. Guadalcanal was a lousy experience. I mean, all kinds of things. You got to use those things to try and, you know, help you to help others, and help you to get to the kingdom of God, to purify your heart, to open yourself to trusting in God, as you put it, Teresa, to trusting in Jesus, that Lord Jesus, I place my trust
in you.
That reliance factor. And, you know, St. Paul tells us about that. He says, look, he says, I was given a thorn in my flesh. And that means some physical ailment, not the sins of the flesh. Thorn in the flesh is something's bugging me. I always thought it was blindness was bugging him, but that's another story. But I was given a thorn in the flesh, an angel of Satan to beat me, to keep me from getting proud. And I asked the Lord three times. That means over and over and over again, a million times. I asked the Lord, I prayed, you know, that he would take this cross from me, but he saw fit not to do so. And then I learned that in my weakness is my strength, for when I am weak, it is then that Christ grows strong, more strongly within me. And that, of course, at the end of the day, our reliance in Christ growing stronger within us, is the road to heaven, It's the road to, as it were, getting out of years of purgatory, if I can put it that way. It's purification on a platter. And when we take it, accept it, and utilize it to help others and to help us get to the kingdom of God and put our trust in the Lord, honestly, we get to our objective, which is not only for us to get to the kingdom, but to get our family members to the kingdom and to help all the people around us to get to the kingdom.
And in the midst of this, there's a great joy. It's not that we're saying that the Christian life is a life of constant misery and drudgery, although Teresa of Avila had a great quote, a little joke that, you know, sometimes life can feel like our entire lives can feel like one night in a bad inn. Right? So even the great mystic.
It's a great quip. You know, and, you know, there was a Time magazine article from a long time ago, around 1982 or 83 or something like that. It was on illness and pills. And at the end of it, the article just said, little wonder that 99% of the work done in this world is done by people who do not feel 100% well, by people who are not 100% well. And you know what? I mean, this idea of deploring suffering, deploring sickness, or avoiding suffering and avoiding sickness, avoiding commitments and avoiding constraints, it's what I call the killer culture.
Right.
Because the more we keep preaching this, the more we keep preaching that life is a fantasy, the more we keep preaching.
Well, look at the suicide rates. Look at the addiction rates. Look at the teen suicide rates are way up. And I think in terms of true freedom, and we could talk about more of this when we come back, we talked about strength and hope with the Religious Freedom Week that wrapped up last week on July 4th with the USCCB that they give us every year. It's in those weaknesses and in those moments of struggle that we learn and grow. Any great inventor, whether it's Edison or whomever, says that they learned by their mistakes over and over again, trying something else. You know, I heard a Bible teacher say once years ago that all sunshine makes a desert. And if we keep thinking that we're not going to have, you know, Jesus says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So everybody, whatever they believe, if they're an atheist, agnostic, Muslim, Hindu, whatever, everyone is going to struggle. And we can learn and make the most of it, and that can turn into joy. Jesus first, others second, ourselves last. If only we embrace true freedom in Christ. More on this with our expert, philosopher, doctor, speaker, author, Father Robert Spitzer. Stay tuned.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is The Logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. The strong nuclear force, the strongest physical force in the universe, holds atoms together. If the strong nuclear force were just 10% weaker, atoms would fly apart and Earth would disintegrate. And if the strong nuclear force were just 4% stronger, the hydrocarbon atoms in your body would fuse into heavy metals. Most remarkable, this strong nuclear force is only active within a few quadrillionths of a meter around each atom. That life in the universe are so finely tuned is something to appreciate. Today, tell someone how you appreciate the wonderful way creation is designed. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the wisdom of God, and so we try to develop the mind of Christ, whether we're looking at the bioethics of gene editing, immigration in the United States, abortion at the Supreme Court, or movies in Hollywood. So join me as we look at the news of the world through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, this afternoon, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
If Father Robert Spitzer is someone I could talk to forever. I love his insights. I love his very common sense and practical approach, even though he is, of course, brilliant. And he is a PhD. He's a philosopher, a noted author, speaker from the Majus Center. We'll give you that website as well for all great information on Catholics and the culture. Love watching him with our friend Doug Keck on, of course, Father Spitzer's Universe. And Father, we were talking prior to the break about what this world is offering us, making us somehow from the culture believe that we're never going to suffer. And I truly think that this is why so many people, when they bump up against some sort of suffering, even the smallest thing, they don't know how to live or go through it or work through it. And they're told, oh, have a quick end to it, whether it's an abortion or whether it's a divorce. I'm not saying that all marriages are going to be perfect, and there could be a situation where a divorce may be the only option given abuse or whatever situation that person is in. So we're not judging. I just want to make that clear. But at the same time, everyone wants a quick fix. I can't tell you how many times, and you heard Deacon Dom and I give our testimony. We were speaking together in Jacksonville. You know, it was a rough road healing our marriage. And people come to us and they say, well, okay, so you have marriage problems. I'm having marriage problems. How long did it take you to fix things? Like a month, 2 months? And I'm like, no, how about like 7 or 8 years up and down and prayer and counseling and retrovi and marriage encounter. And realizing that we made a lot of mistakes and we had to really understand who we were again in this relationship with God, within the church, and what the church was teaching us about marriage. There is no free lunch, and that's what the world is saying. And if you look at this election, everybody's promising everything. It's free. College can be free. Healthcare is free. And if you want an abortion, we'll pay for it. And it doesn't matter how long, you know, how many months you're pregnant. Everything is free, and you don't have to struggle with anything. What are we doing?
Well, we're giving people so many cultural myths that can never, ever pan out in the end. And we're turning them, I shouldn't say this, but we're turning them into wusses. I mean, you know, luckily my father wouldn't let me be a wuss. You know, but look at, you know, the philosophy of wussness. Number one.
That should be your new book, The Philosophy of Wussness.
Yeah.
I love that title.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, unfortunately, this is exactly what's happening. But let's look at this 13 Reasons Why, which was a Netflix series that just continues to perpetuate teen suicides and increase them. And you look at what the whole underlying theme is. Okay, you got bullied. You got cyberbullied. Okay, it's a bad deal. But, you know, the point is, you know, rushing to suicide, you know, even with these 13 reasons why, is, you know, objectively absurd. This is exactly what's going on. I mean, what in the world can come out of a series that projects this idea of, okay, I couldn't deal with some cyberbullying and it didn't look all that good, and there's other things that are going wrong in my life, and all of a sudden, you've got people justifying suicide, and then teens are watching this.
Right, you're talking about 13 reasons why. Yeah.
And they're believing that suffering is unjust, and they shouldn't have suffering in their lives. And they're believing that if they're not perfect compared with other people, they're believing that this is something that is, you know, unjust to them, which would warrant checking out. These are all, you know, life is not perfectly fair.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for my father, who just said, well, that's because life's not fair.
Yeah.
You should not expect that. That's not real. You know, make the most out of your crosses. Everybody's going to have them.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to return to Christianity again. And the reason we do is because Christianity doesn't give you the whole idea that suffering is Maya.
Mm-hmm.
It does not give you the idea that there should not be suffering. What Christianity tells you is how to deal with suffering with the Lord, how you can trust the Lord, bring the grace of the Lord into your life, and by bringing that grace and trust in the Lord into your life, you can actually, in turn, you know, not only get to heaven, take up your cross and follow him, but he's going to give you graces to purify yourself through this cross, and he's going to give you avenues of life to touch other people through the crosses that you're enduring, the suffering that you're enduring, all of these things will redound to perfection and ultimately be completely resolved, where Christ tells us, when we get to the kingdom of heaven, there will be no suffering. Every tear will be wiped away. So for all intents and purposes, this is, what our call is. And we have to get back to it. Christianity gives us not only the solution intellectually, but the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. That's what's given to us through the Holy Spirit. That's what's given to us. And it's that combination of the grace that comes from Jesus, the good things that come from the community, right? The community support that we get in our faith, and the theology that we get for how to pray and how to interpret suffering and what its purpose is that the Christian life gives us, that's what enables us to deal with suffering. That's what enables us, to become truly free. In order to be free, I don't have to do FOMO. I don't have to escape from suffering. I don't have to escape from constraint. I can actually, deal with all of it. And not only deal with all of it, but benefit from all of it through the grace of Jesus Christ. Just as St. Paul says, he grows stronger within me. And when that happens, we serve people well. And
there's joy, though, Father, too. I mean, again, as we said earlier, sometimes the world looks at Christianity as this life of drudgery and suffering and sacrificing so much, and this whole idea of FOMO, fear of missing out. When you follow God's will for your life, and people fight it and fight it and fight it, and I'm speaking from personal experience. You know my story. I fought it for a long time, leaving the secular media. And once I did, at first I didn't know exactly where God was leading me, but eventually I said, okay. You're God, I'm not. You saved my marriage, saved my soul, whatever you want me to do. And then gradually he showed me what he wanted me to do. And it was along the same lines in terms of using my skills. But I've never had more fun, never met so many wonderful people, never had the opportunity really to help others maybe learn from my own mistakes, which are many. There is real joy, and it's not based on your day-to-day experience. It's looking to the future, it's understanding things in the big perspective. And that's what people have such a hard time with, because they are only living day to day in the very temporal sense of things.
That's exactly right. And like I said, this is the school of instruction from the culture. And, we just have to categorically reject it and accept the teaching of Jesus. And we have to literally explode the fantasy that the culture gives and teach our teens how to do that. I mean, they go to school and they pick up all this stuff, and they pick up a whole lot of, trite little cliches that really don't talk about life at all. It's just what the kids want to hear put into, trite cliches that has become this cultural philosophy. It's a complete myth, and so when the philosophy doesn't come true for you, you feel isolated. You think you just somehow are the lost ship in the storm, you didn't stay with the fleet. And so that's why, the suicidal ideation starts happening. And so, like I said, it all comes down to busting the myth. And to accepting the cross, and to looking at how Christianity and the Lord Jesus himself teaches us to deal with the cross, and putting our trust in him, because what we're trying to do is get to the kingdom of heaven. We're not trying to have heaven on earth, the old utopian myth. And so I guess if we want to get back to real freedom, the first thing we're going to have to do is rediscover commitment, rediscover what our real purpose in life is, namely getting to heaven, having good, significant relationships and marriages and stable families, trying to do things, that are worthy of us, ideals that are worthy of us and worthy of our families, and trying to embrace ethical principles that are going, in the end result, to help us to be good and to have, good means of getting to our good ends.
Right.
And, if you just look at those four things alone, I mean, if we could just say, this is the purpose of life. The purpose of life is not to be the best. The purpose of life is not to be considered the most successful. The purpose of life is not to be the most beautiful or the most intelligent or whatever it is you want to be. The purpose of life is to get to heaven, have a really good family and children.
And make a difference.
Called a marriage or,
to help people. Right?
And to help people.
Right.
Exactly. And to not only help them in this life, but to help them get to heaven. And furthermore, to embrace the ethical principles that will make you a good person.
And will make you happier. That will make you happier. And here's the thing. How miserable do we have to get in this world before we realize that? I was talking the other day with Dr. Jennifer Robeck Morris from the Ruth Institute.
Yeah.
And we're looking at these numbers, for example, from the Centers for Disease Control on sexually transmitted infections. And it's the same thing. Insanity, I think it was Einstein who said, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results and thinking we're free because we're sleeping with everybody and their brother and sister and whomever we think we can are allowed to sleep with. And yet we're seeing more and more sexually transmitted infections, some that are curable, a lot of them aren't. And the media are saying, well, most of them are curable, so it's no big deal. And yet we think that we're free and we're enslaved by this. How miserable, broken marriages, broken families, how miserable do we have to get before we start turning this around and realizing, hey, what? It's not all about us. Guess what?
That's right. We've been sold a bill of goods.
Yep.
And, the cultural myth, as I always say, the culture is not truth, and the culture is not light, and the culture is not life. Jesus Christ is. And, you know, the more we keep thinking that the culture is the new sophisticated replacement for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more disappointed we will be. It comes as no surprise to me that there's a huge increase in substance abuse, mm-hmm. huge increase in familial tensions, huge increase in the divorce rate, huge increase in not just sexually transmitted diseases, but, you know, all the things that are attendant upon that. In other words, the loss of real intimacy, the loss of real generativity, et cetera, and the loss of real romantic relationship, et cetera. All these things, you know, the culture promises you the world and delivers nothing. I mean, there was a great survey done by the American Psychiatric Association, published in 2004 in the American Journal of Psychiatry,
mm-hmm.
By Kanita Dervik. And it's free online. Google Dervik, Dervic. And this gal, Kanita Dervik, and her 10 colleagues basically put together this poll of comparing religiously affiliated people to non-religiously affiliated people. Guess what? Non-religiously affiliated people had significantly higher rates of depression, impulsivity, aggressivity, familial tensions, substance abuse, suicidal ideation, and suicide.
Yeah,
attempts.
Go figure, right? Yeah, no surprise. Father, we're out of time. Thank you so much.
Oh.
I could talk to you for a whole nother hour. So appreciate it. Talking with Father Robert Spitzer, philosopher, author, speaker, and, of course, a co-host along with Doug Keck on Father Spitzer's Universe, and just a brilliant mind. What's the website for the Magis Center?
MagisCenter.com, MagisCenter.com.
Thanks, Father, and let's get back to basics, common sense, and a relationship with Christ, because at the end of the day, K-N-O-W, no Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace, no Jesus, no peace, and no real freedom. We'll be right back. Father, thank you so much. Great discussion. Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomeo here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia, where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at TeaseItaly, TravelItalyExpert.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Catholic Connection. And just remember, if you're a new listener or not, if you've been on board with us for a while, you may not know that we are co-produced actually by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And you can find us both online, all kinds of great resources at EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Now, I give you those websites quite often because I want to remind you, if you heard something on the show today, yesterday, last week, you can go to those websites and you can go to the archive sections or you can look them up and we have records of them for you. And if you heard, let's say, maybe about a book or a document, you can certainly go to EWTN in the religious catalog to order an item, or you can look up any type of encyclical or papal document or information about any of our shows there as well. So these are great resources in addition to great Catholic radio every day. We'll see you next time on Catholic Connection.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.